The pay-as-you-earn, or PAYE system, is a method by which tax is deducted from employment income and certain other income at source. PAYE is not a tax in itself. It is simply a system under which income tax is taken from salaries, etc., at the point of payment and handed over to the revenue. PAYE schemes are generally operated by employers. In essence, the revenue are using employers as unpaid tax collectors. To rub salt into the wounds, if employers fail to operate PAYE correctly, there are penalties for these failures. PAYE is applied to PAYE income. We shall take a look at what constitutes PAYE income on the next page. As well as taking income tax from our employment income, the PAYE system also deducts National Insurance Contributions, NIC, at the point of payment. National Insurance Contributions are paid by both employers and employees, and we shall take a detailed look at NIC in a separate module. Employers pay over tax and NIC to the revenue on a monthly basis, on the 19th of each month. The due date for payment is 14 days after the end of each tax month, and each tax month ends on the 5th of the month. There is one exception to this. If the total tax and national insurance contributions payable by the employer is less than £1,500 per month on average, the employer has the option to make payments under PAYE on a quarterly basis. For this purpose, the four tax quarters end on the 5th of July, 5th of October, 5th of January and 5th of April, so PAYE payments are due 14 days after each of those quarter ends. The Earnings and Pensions Act defines PAYE income in Section 683. It consists of three elements. The first is PAYE employment income, which we will deal with in detail shortly. The second is PAYE pension income, which includes payments by employers to former employees under pension schemes. The third element is PAYE social security income, which includes statutory sick pay and statutory maternity pay. Both of these benefits are paid by employers to relevant employees. We are mostly concerned with PAYE employment income. This consists of any taxable earnings from an employment in the year and any taxable specific income from an employment in the year. This definition therefore covers most cash payments made by employers to employees, including salaries, bonuses, round sum allowances, and the taxable element of termination payments taxed under Section 401 ITEPA 2003. There are some cash payments made by an employer to an employee that will not be subject to PAYE. For example, the payment of mileage payments in excess of the authorised amount is not subject to PAYE. The excess is simply reported on Form P11D. The main example is the payment or reimbursement of the genuine business expenses, which we looked at in the previous session. Genuine business expenses are simply reported by the employer on Form P11D, unless a dispensation is in place, in which case they do not need to be reported. If the amount of a private expense is reimbursed to the employee, the amount reimbursed will be subject to PAYE. However, if the amount is paid directly to the supplier, the PAYE will not be due. If there is a profit element in respect of the reimbursement of a business expense, for example, where an employee takes a journey in the performance of his duties, but is reimbursed more than the actual cost, the excess is treated as a private expense. If an employer makes a non-cash payment to an employee, i.e. some form of payment in kind, and that payment in kind can be surrendered for cash, the amount of cash that the payment can be surrendered for is subject to PAYE. A payment in the form of a premium bond, for example, will constitute earnings for PAYE purposes because the employee can take the premium bond to the post office and has a legal right to be able to exchange the premium bond in return for cash. Note here the specific use of the word surrender. This is very different to the word sale. For example, if an employee were given a yacht as a bonus by his employer, this would not constitute earnings for PAYE purposes, as he could not take the yacht back to the shop and demand cash from the shop owner. This is not an asset that can be surrendered for cash in the same way as a premium bond. When PAYE needs to be accounted for in respect of a readily convertible asset, the tax deducted may reduce an employee's cash pay to nil. Any amount of PAYE which cannot be deducted from cash pay must be recovered from the employee within 90 days of receipt of the non-cash payment. If any amount is not recovered from the employee, it must be recorded as a benefit for the employee at the end of the tax year. An employee may be provided with vouchers as part of their remuneration package. Vouchers, which can be exchanged for cash, count as earnings for PAYE purposes, and the amount of cash for which they can be exchanged will be subject to PAYE. Vouchers which can only be exchanged for goods and services are not earnings for PAYE purposes, unless they can be exchanged for a readily convertible asset. Normal benefits, such as the use of a company car or a low-interest loan or living accommodation, are not generally subject to deduction to tax at source under PAYE. These benefits are usually entered on Form P11D, and tax is paid on these benefits at the end of the year under self-assessment. However, as we shall see later, in order to prevent there from being a large underpayment of tax on benefits at the end of the year, the revenue usually tax benefits at source via what we call the employee's tax code. We shall deal with tax codes later on in this session. Let us have a quick look at how the PAYE system actually works. Once the employer has arrived at the employee's PAYE income for a particular earnings period, the most common earnings period being that of 1 month, the income is entered onto a PAYE deduction card. The employer then calculates tax on the income using the employee's tax code. The purpose of a tax code is for the revenue to tell the employer what allowances, etc., are due to the employee. For example, people with adjusted net income not exceeding £100,000 will be entitled to the basic personal allowance. So, in effect, they can earn a certain amount of tax-free pay every month. This tax-free pay is deducted from the PAYE income, and the excess is charged to tax. The employer calculates the precise amount of tax due using tax tables. These tables are provided by the revenue, and there are separate tables for tax and national insurance contributions. The graph below illustrates how the tax tables work. On the vertical axis, we have monthly gross pay, while on the horizontal axis, we have the employee's tax code, which has been notified to the employer by the revenue. The employer simply looks at the monthly gross pay, then looks at the employee's tax code, and where these two points meet on the tax tables, that is the income tax to be deducted for that particular month. What the tables effectively do is to take gross pay, deduct some personal allowances where available, and charge the excess at 20%, and, if relevant, at 40 and 50%. Once the employer has arrived at the tax and the national insurance to be deducted, this is withheld from gross pay, and the net amount is paid into the employee's bank account. It is the employer's responsibility to keep records of all PAYE income paid to employees and of the tax and national insurance deducted from that income. These pay and tax details will be recorded on various returns sent to the revenue at the end of the year. PAYE returns will be dealt with in the next module. One thing you may be asked to do by your client in practice is to check that his tax code is correct. So, for the rest of this session, we shall look at how HMRC put together an employee's tax code. The tax code is issued by HMRC to employers on Form P9T, or P6 if changes are made to the code in the year. A detailed breakdown of how the revenue has arrived at the tax code is given to the employee on a different form, Form P2. Note here that the employer only receives the bottom line figure, i.e. the employer does not receive the detailed breakdown of the code, as this is confidential information given to the employee only. The purpose of the tax code is to tell the employer how many allowances or reliefs the employee is entitled to. These allowances will include personal allowances, age allowances, and any other reliefs, such as qualifying interest or EIS relief, etc. The tax code will also take account of any benefits to which the employee is entitled. So, in essence, what the tax code does is takes the employee's allowances for the year, it deducts any benefits the employee has for the year, and the difference is the net allowances due to the employee. These net allowances are essentially the employee's tax-free pay. By restricting an employee's allowances by the amount of his benefits, what the revenue are doing is effectively taxing benefits on a monthly basis as they go along. As we mentioned earlier, the revenue do this simply to prevent the employee having a large tax bill at the end of the year. By way of an example, let us take Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones is entitled to a personal allowance in 2010-11 of £6,475. In the tax year, he also receives some benefits from his employer. He has a company car with a benefit of £1,690. He is also provided with private fuel for that car, giving rise to a benefit of £2,700. So his total benefits for the year are £4,390. If we deduct the benefits from the allowances, you will see that Mr. Jones has net allowances of £2,085, i.e. his allowances exceed his benefits by £2,085. This £2,085 is Mr. Jones's tax-free pay for the year. HMRC will convert this tax-free pay into a tax code. To do this, they will simply knock off the end figure, i.e. remove the 5, and replace that number with the letter L. So the tax code here is 208L. The suffix L simply means that Mr. Jones is entitled to normal personal allowances. HMRC will then send Form P6 to the employer, telling the employer to withhold tax at source under PAYE using this code. The detailed breakdown of how the code is arrived at is not given to the employer. This is kept confidential. Assuming the employee is paid monthly, his tax-free pay for the year is £2,089, equating to about £174 per month of tax-free pay. This tax-free pay is deducted from PAYE income and PAYE applied to the excess, using the employer's tax tables. In practice, you will often be asked by the client to check his Form P2, i.e. to check the detailed breakdown of the coding, to make sure that the allowances and the benefits within the tax code are correct. What you are doing here is simply checking that the revenue are deducting more or less the correct amount of tax each month under PAYE. Any extra tax owed to the revenue or any repayments due to the taxpayer will be dealt with once the self-assessment return has been submitted. Let us take notices of coding one step further. Notices of coding can take account of allowances other than the basic personal allowance. For example, they can take account of tax reducers, such as subscriptions to companies under EIS and any married couples relief due to older taxpayers. The codes can also take account of gift aid donations and any contributions to pension schemes which attract tax relief. Tax codes are also very commonly used to deal with tax under or over payments from previous years. The tax code can also be used to tax small amounts of other income likely to arise in the tax year. Examples include rental or investment income. However, the taxpayer can object to the tax on such income being deducted in the tax code. We need to be aware that PAYE is by no means an exact science. So the amount of tax deducted at source under PAYE will not always be exactly the same as the tax liability for the year. So most taxpayers in the UK will either have small under- or overpayments at the end of the year. If the tax due for the year is less than £2,000, the revenue do not require this tax to be paid under self-assessment on the 31st of January. Instead, they are happy to collect this tax in a later year under PAYE. For example, if an underpayment occurs in 2008-09, HMRC will usually adjust the tax code in 2010-11. The whole idea is that the employee will pay slightly more tax in the later year to cancel out the tax underpayment from the earlier year. Let us run through a second example on notices of coding, and this time make it slightly more complicated. You have a taxpayer called Mr. Wood. Mr. Wood is employed on a salary of £20,000 per annum. His taxable benefits for the year total £500. From this, you will see that Mr. Wood is a basic rate taxpayer. In 2008-09, Mr. Wood had a tax underpayment of £150, i.e. after putting together his income tax computation for that tax year, he finds that he still owed HMRC £150. As this is less than £2,000, HMRC will collect this in 2010-11 via his PAYE notice of coding. Our job here is to show what Mr. Wood's tax code will be for the tax year 2010-11. We will start with Mr. Wood's allowances. He has a normal personal allowance of £6,475. Moving now to Mr. Wood's taxable benefits. His benefits for the year are £500. In 2008-09, Mr. Wood had a small underpayment that we need to deal with via his tax code. The tax underpayment was £150. What we need to do here is to restrict Mr. Wood's allowances by such an amount that it creates an extra tax liability of £150 in 2010-11. As Mr. Wood is a basic rate taxpayer, we do this by multiplying by 100 over 20, giving us £750. Again, let us take a moment to think about what we are doing. We are effectively pretending that in 2010-11, Mr. Wood has extra income of £750. When multiplied by the basic rate of 20%, this will create an extra tax liability of £150. This will cancel with the tax that he owes for the previous year. The net allowances due for the year are £5,225. We then knock off the final five and replace that with the letter L for normal personal allowances to give us a tax code for the year of 522L. This is notified to the employer on a form P6, and this tells the employer that Mr. Wood has tax-free pay of £5,229 for the year, or about £436 every month.